It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Jason Chaffetz.
I'm Katie Pavlich.
I'm Steve Ducey, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Tuesday, May 3rd, 2022. I'm John Saucier. Today we're taking a global look at the war in Ukraine as Russia may be ready to try and annex more territory. European powers lend their support and a major religious leader is left out of the conversation.
The fact that Ukraine wants to join the European Union, wants to join NATO, wants to build those ties, that's a threat to Vladimir Putin because he can't allow those ideas and principles that we hold near and dear enshrined in our Constitution and Bill of Rights to make their way into Russia because that would mean the end of him and his regime.
This is the Fox News Rundown. War on Ukraine.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson delivering a major speech to Ukrainian Parliament to not only lend his support, but also try and further inspire Ukraine.
Though your soldiers were always outnumbered, 3-1 it is now, they fought with the courage and the energy of lions.
It does seem, though, this war is shifting again as Russia's strategy continues to evolve, seemingly out of necessity.
Their strategy has been forced upon them. Initially, it was topple the Zelensky government in a couple of days. Well, that didn't happen.
Fox News contributor Dan Hoffman, a former CIA station chief.
President Zelensky declined the ride that the Biden administration offered him and said, the fight's here. And he stayed. He famously said, we need ammunition. And he really galvanized his own population and as well as the West, which is now providing unprecedented amounts of military assistance to keep Ukraine in the fight. Then Russia's goal was to topple Kyiv. Well, that didn't happen either. And Russia had to withdraw to resupply and refit in Russia and in Belarus. And now they are targeting the eastern parts of Ukraine, the southern part of Ukraine, Luhansk and Donetsk provinces, with an eye towards extending, I think, all the way to Odessa so they get their land bridge to Crimea. And remember, they've got the Transnistria with Russian separatists and some Russian troops on the other side of the border there from Odessa. So I think that's Russia's goal right now. And we're looking at, you know, as close as anyone could ever imagine to the sort of fighting we saw in the Second World War, you know, wide open plains. This is like Kansas. And what we've seen so far with civilian casualties and horrific atrocities, I fear is only going to get worse.
So these wide open plains and these big battlefields, would you say that favors Russia more or Ukraine? Because so far in Ukraine, we've been seeing that the Ukrainian military has been using tactics where they're getting very close to the Russian military. If there's a wide open plain and they can see them coming, it seems like that might not work.
Yeah, well, it might have favored Russia, except that Ukraine has now been resupplied with what they need. T-72 tanks, the Javelin anti-tank weapons, Stingers, air defense, those Phoenix Ghost drones, which are have a kinetic capability. So, you know, we've been able to get that equipment into Ukraine. And all that means is a massive battle. Now, the challenge for Ukraine is that Russia holds a lot of this territory already, and it is a humanitarian catastrophe. But the fighting will go on, and it will probably look more like a war of attrition. At what point does one side or potentially both sides or maybe neither side grow tired from this fight and then seek peace negotiations?
The world most certainly tired of this fight. We've heard a lot from American lawmakers, President Biden especially, also condemning the war and offering support for Ukraine. Another person we heard from today is actually the first world leader to address Ukrainian Parliament directly. That's the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Boris Johnson. He gave a very inspirational speech, trying to almost invoke Churchill at times when he was talking about the resolve of the Ukrainian forces. If you're a member of Ukrainian Parliament, is that an inspirational speech from Boris Johnson, who has been providing some military equipment and aid, or does it seem hypothetical because Ukraine's asked for the West for a lot of things they haven't been given so far, those MiG fighter jets and whatnot? How do you think that Boris Johnson's speech was received by Ukrainian Parliament?
No, I think it was received really well. Listen, there's an element of theatrics, of course, when it comes to fighting a war. And remember that Russian state Kremlin TV has been threatening the United Kingdom with nuclear attack. So all the more important that Boris Johnson is out there out front addressing the Ukrainian parliament. Listen, President Biden has said that that we will defend every inch of NATO territory. Well, it's Ukraine taking the fight to Russia and doing more to counter, defend, and deter Russian advances on the West and defend liberty, freedom, and democracy, all that matters to us here, than any NATO member has ever done. And I think that that it was very befitting of the Ukrainian parliament to host Prime Minister Johnson. It would be a good thing if the United States did the same thing. It's been a welcome, I think, change that the United States has opened the aperture, and we've sent some of our senior officials to Ukraine. I'd like to see Republicans get out there as a bipartisan, with some bipartisanship, and join the Democrats on those visits. And, you know, who knows, maybe at some point President Biden could either address the parliament, but even better, you know, set foot in Ukraine as Prime Minister Boris Johnson already has done.
And it makes you think, too, because you're referencing top American officials going to Ukraine. Nancy Pelosi made a surprise visit there this past weekend. And if the U.S. can get her into Ukraine, might they be able to get Biden into Ukraine for an in-person speech? But also, it might be effective if he could give a speech over a video link to Ukrainian parliament or maybe the Ukrainian people. Let's talk about another leader. This is more of a religious leader, though, Pope Francis. He's been very vocal throughout this entire war, not directly condemning Russia at all times, but now he does seem to be just getting a little bit stronger in some of the things he's saying. Something that stuck out to me is that he apparently wants a meeting with Russia's Vladimir Putin, but that's not happening. Do you think it would be advantageous or not for Putin to meet with Pope Francis at this time?
Oh, I'm pretty sure that that Vladimir Putin doesn't want to take that meeting. Let's remember, too, that Pope John Paul II played a major role, some would argue indispensable role, in contributing to the downfall of the Soviet evil empire. And, you know, the last thing I think Vladimir Putin wants to do is try to match the Pope. That just isn't going to work out really well for him. And certainly one of the nations that has been critical to keeping Ukraine in the fight is Poland. And there's a good bit of history there for Poland leading the way, putting a lot of nails in the coffin of that Soviet evil empire with Lech Walesa, and again, Pope John Paul II. You know, we're seeing everyone kind of go back and remember that history right now, which I think is so it's so valuable, and it's so inspirational, I think, to those Ukrainians who are fighting for their lives, and to their neighbors, NATO member neighbors, especially Poland, Slovakia, Czech Republic, keeping Ukraine in the fight.
We're speaking today with Fox News contributor Dan Hoffman, a former CIA station chief on the war in Ukraine. We'll have much more after this short break. So far, we've seen Putin make moves on a global scale to try and keep his military in the fight here, most recently cutting off energy supplies to European nations, to NATO members there. So I like your point about it wouldn't be a good idea for Putin to meet with Pope Francis at this time. Another factor in this war has been these Russian separatists who have really been fighting with Ukraine for years now, but they're playing a major role here in trying to possibly help the Russian invasion, but also as far as controlling territory as Russia advances. Can you talk about the role that these separatist groups are playing as they are also fighting against the Ukrainian government?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Russia has made that kind of a cornerstone of their military strategy, which was to recruit Russian separatists, but have a healthy dose of their own troops there. This is after they invaded eastern Ukraine, the Donbass, in 2014 and illegally annexed Crimea. They also used mercenaries like the Wagner Group and Chechens and Syrians. I mean, the Russians are, you know, absolutely pay no attention to international law. They inflict massive casualties on civilians, but also on themselves. You know, they've done some unimaginably moronic things, like bedding down in the forest in Chernobyl and radiating themselves, which is unexplainable, I think. But when it comes to the separatists, you know, the Russians are using them as pawns in their strategic effort to exert control over Ukraine. And let's just remember that the reason Vladimir Putin is doing this, it's for his own personal regime security. What scares him the most? It's not NATO's military prowess. NATO's a defensive alliance, and Ukraine had no prospects whatsoever to join NATO in the near term. But It's democracy, freedom, liberty, everything that Ukraine has been fighting for. The fact that Ukraine wants to join the European Union, wants to join NATO, wants to build those ties, that's a threat to Vladimir Putin because he can't allow those ideas and principles that we hold near and dear enshrined in our Constitution and Bill of Rights to make their way into Russia, because that would mean the end of him and his regime, his kleptocratic, corrupt, tyrannical regime.
That's a really amazing point there. What does Putin actually want? He wants stability for his own political future, which seems like in these big world conflicts, isn't that what it always comes down to so many times? One person or a singular group of people trying to secure their own power, and they're not scared to kill civilians on the way to get it. It's really a powerful message here as we continue to watch how this war evolves. Dan Hoffman, Fox News contributor and former CIA station chief, we really appreciate your time, and thanks for coming on the Fox News Rundown War on Ukraine podcast.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform and watch directly on outkick.com/watch.